Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
This morning, we have a dear friend from Bath, or Bath if you are edumacated, Bath, England. It is about 2 hours, this city and church is about 2 hours west of London itself. My wife and I have been there multiple times. And a dear friend here is here this morning, Jonathan Horsfall. His beautiful wife, Ruth, lead that church with a team of people. And Jonathan lived here just south of Chicago for 4 or 5 years, probably over, you know, early, kind of middle 2015, something like that. So he is Americanized. He understands the land of the free, home of the brave, all that good stuff. And he loves America, don't you, Jonathan? He'll probably talk about that. He loves America, but you have to go back home to England. So we are blessed to have him. He is a dear friend. Jonathan, I think this is his third or his fourth time that he's actually preached here on a Sunday morning. So we are privileged. We are blessed. We so appreciate what you and your wife are doing, coming over to this country, serving, leading people, loving people, going back and doing the same in England. We are privileged and blessed this morning. Jonathan, can you come up real quick? Can we give him a warm welcome? Father, I thank you for this man. I thank you for what you are going to communicate from your heart through his heart to our hearts. Lord, we say right now, my heart is fertile ground.
Yeah.
It's soft. It's malleable. It's ready to receive seed from heaven. So, Lord, as we open the word, as we hear from Jonathan, Lord, I'm in faith. I want to hear your voice. I want to grow. I want to be changed. I want to walk out these doors different than when I came in. So, Father, speak to me. I want to hear. I want to mix it with faith to produce lasting fruit. Bless this man, Father, with all liberality in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Jonathan Horsfall.
It's good to be here.
You know, one thing I would say, yes, Tom was right. Absolutely love this nation. Two of my children were born here. Ruth and I have four kids. So two are dual citizenship. So they have the privilege of being able to choose at 18, maybe where they study, they come here or go stay in England. But America changed our lives for the good.
Yes.
You know what, I want to just say this, that this place, this house, you, for Ruth and I, from 2015 to 2020, were always a refuge for us, a place where actually we were able to come here just to actually just sit in the presence of God, get encouraged, get equipped, and drive up 4 hours north back to Morris, Illinois, envisioned, encouraged, just so excited to serve here. And every time I come here, I know that I'm going to hear from the Lord, and it's going to come through you guys. Secondly, I want all of you just to be aware of the measure and gift that God has given your leaders, Tom and Randy Kyle, because they're not just shepherding you, they're shepherding people all over the world. And that when Tom and Randy, when we receive them, when they come to England, they move our church forward. There are many people that ask me, when are Tom and Randy coming back? And just personally, oh, you're going to make me cry. They've been so good to me and Ruth. I love you. Just love your leaders. You know, Hebrews talks about imitate the faith of your leaders. And you are so blessed with the people, the leaders that God has given you. You really have. All right, I'm ready to preach. If I look at Tom and Randy again, we're going to end the meeting. You know, I love this, that whenever we actually open the word, I've started just agreeing with this, because, I mean, we've done a lot of agreement this morning, but just how in Hebrews 4:12 it says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. Yeah. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires.
Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. And I always think about this before I speak anywhere, that actually, Lord, whatever you've got to say to me, that these words that come through my mouth would slice and dice anything that you want to go through. So that is always my heart. So this morning, I want to talk to you about two really exciting topics that I know all of us love talking about, and it's shame and guilt. So I have a question. Could you raise your hands if you have ever experienced something in your life that has produced either shame or guilt? Could you just raise your hands? Okay. Oh, wow, I'm surprised. Could you just keep your hands raised if that was you? Now, could you tell your neighbor what that was? Lock the doors. You know, I'm a firm believer in this, because the Lord is leading our congregation at the moment just through a series that we've been going through. And part of this series was around, has been going back over actually who has God called us to be? Not me, but us. So when we're here in this room, it's not you, it's y'all. Yeah. It's actually, God speaks to us in our private time. He speaks through our friends, through our relationships, home groups. If you want to hear Lord deeper, join a home group, join a life group. But here, right now, the Lord is speaking to y'all. And the voice this morning is different to the other two places. And I believe that part of our walking out what Christ has done for us on the cross is that we must, should, you can decide, should be the freest people on the planet.
Yes. Yes.
And that actually it's not just saying Christ died for us and he raised again, but actually our lives would scream it.
Yes.
Because the sounds of joy coming from our households will be heard throughout the world.
That's good.
Let me say that shame is a powerful force. It makes us believe that we are not worthy of God's love, God's acceptance, God's purposes. Shame causes us to feel marred, damaged, beyond repair. And like Adam and Eve who hid from God, they hid from people, they hide from anything. And if you look at, say, for us, shame will, we will hide behind our accomplishments, we'll hide behind our gifts, we'll hide behind our marriage, we'll hide behind our children. Or hide behind anything that is be able to block what may we believe is so shameful or guilty that if it ever came out in the open, it would be devastating. You see, shame and guilt attack our identity. And let me really quickly show you. Genesis 2:25. I've got the scriptures ready for you. I've got them sort of like darting all over this morning. So let's see what life looked like in the garden before Adam and Eve decided to taste something they shouldn't have. It says, now the man and the wife were both naked, but, everyone say but, they felt no shame. So here we see nothing weighing them down. They are unaware of themselves. And they felt no shame. And that was in paradise. And yet we know that when the liar of the father of lies came down and lied to Adam and Eve and said to them, ignore what God said, disobey God, because actually he's holding goodness from you. He lied to them. They ate the fruit. And then here we see sin entering the world, guilt and shame now becoming a part of their lives. And immediately in Genesis 3:7, it says, then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. This is what shame does. I always remember my brother, he used to joke to me and said that this was the moment fashion was born. But they were covering themselves. They were hiding. It was as if the result of sin told them this heading: you are broken, you are marred, and it's not if hide, you must hide from God. Because he is deeply ashamed of you,
and you should feel guilty. So go into that cave and hide. We know, as we keep reading our Bibles, and we know we've probably said this many times, God had a better plan. He sent his son to set us free. But that freedom looks like something this morning. You turn to your neighbor and say, it looks like something. Let me help make some healthy, maybe just some helpful acknowledgements. Guilt is different than shame. Guilt is action. Guilt would be the position for being accountable for your actions. So if you were in court and the judge was reading out a list of things you've done, the guilt is, this is what you've done with actions, agency, what you've done with your hands, feet, whatever it is. The difference is shame is identity-based. Shame says, if guilt says, I did something bad, shame then says, I am bad. Yes. You see the difference? Yes. They are separate. One is legal, one is emotional. You could say that shame actually is internal. Shame is actually the voice right now that may even be speaking as I speak this message, because shame is now starting to get afraid. A shame expert, again, America leading the way. A quote from Brené Brown. She says, shame is the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love, belonging, and connection. Is this you this morning? There may be a secret here. There may be debt. There may be a sexual past or a sexual issues in the present. It could be anything, but something that you would consider hidden in your life that you've never brought out into the open. And the wages of that secret manifests itself as guilt and shame. And because anything that is hidden suddenly gives voices of the liar that says, you are damaged. You see, if the people sat next to you really knew what had happened, they'd walk away from you. I say all these things, again, not to highlight one or two. I'm saying is that we need to become really, really good at discerning the enemy's voice.
Yes.
Really good at discerning what lies sound like. Even shame, even as it's internalized, we can even then take it and actually just apply it to our thinking. And all of this information I've heard secondhand, shame-based thinking. First one would be, if we carry shame that is not acknowledged and brought into the open, what can happen is that we actually become very vulnerable to perfectionism. Something in my life here is wrong, secret, and cannot come out. So therefore, I must overcompensate over here and be absolutely perfect. Because if people believe I'm perfect, they'll have no idea or any discernment to discern there's something in my life that's eating me. Sometimes it can even manifest of no one can come over until every inch of the house is perfect. No one does that in here, so that's really good. That's why we have home group. Yeah. Well, we have home group, but there's always doors that are locked. Because everything gets thrown in there. Quick, quick, life group's coming, light a candle. You know, another one would be is that shame-based thinking is that actually we beat ourselves up internally and we beat others up too. The most critical person around is the internal voice within. Everything that you do, you've got the voice that comes and says, you shouldn't have said that, or you should have said this, and if you hadn't done that, this wouldn't have happened. What is going on? What sounds are you listening to in the theater of your mind? The third one is we use worst case scenarios to protect us from disappointments. We end up sabotaging God-given opportunities, open doors, opportunities. And we sabotage them because the shame that we carry says, if you get involved in this, not only is it going to fail, but you're going to look like an idiot. We can see throughout scripture as we read the Israelites coming out from Egypt, which clearly was hundreds of years of being in generational slavery, and then the Lord raising up Moses to be the deliverer and leading the Israelites from slavery into freedom. And you think once they cross through the parting of the Red Sea, and that they are free, not just from slavery, but in that very moment, if you read, God says to Moses, and Moses prophesies over the Israelites, not only will we won't die, but you are going to see your enemies be destroyed in front of your very eyes. And after that has happened, they are now walking in the wilderness, and here, through the Lord's love and guidance and mercy, he's wanting to lead a people out of slavery and into the complete opposite, which is a son and daughter sonship, trust in our Heavenly Father. And as we know the story, the Israelites were out of physical slavery, but what they struggled to move out of was the internal slavery that they carried within. They were free on the outside, but they carried shame and guilt on the inside. That's like us. Is that not us? I heard no one disagree of any of the lyrics that we sang this morning of death being no more, Jesus paid it all, kingdom of God come, he can do the impossible, he is the way maker. There's no disagreement in this room. And yet if we ask ourselves these questions about not what my brother or sister to my left or right are doing, am I believing the words of the Heavenly Father that he says about me personally? Because I know I have faith for my brother. But do I believe it for myself? One of the ways to be set free from guilt and shame is to take our focus off ourselves, and the song that we sang is lock eyes back onto Jesus. Let me read you this, Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus, that is literally what we just sung, and I just said, Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Have you ever thought of this? Jesus, who in the Garden of Gethsemane was sweating blood and was... Well, my dad, I learned this from my dad. He said to me that what we see Jesus going through is actually a private... He went through the cross privately, and then the next day he did it publicly. Which actually is kind of a helpful indicator for all of us that if we are going through things privately, it's because there's a corporate victory about to come. But if Enneagram 7's here, you can't bypass the cross to get to the resurrection. And that I want you to think that this topic around guilt and shame, Life Church, that Jesus didn't just walk to the cross, but a smile on his face going, tomorrow, this morning, and right now, I am going to the cross so I can break the chains of guilt and shame off us this morning. He went to the cross for you and I to remove the shame and guilt. I want to ask a question for you guys to ask yourself. Are you waiting for another cross to believe this message? That he scorned the shame that crushes us, kills our joy. He hated it so much that with a smile on his face, he says, I've got this. I want my people to be free. And that when we focus on what Jesus has done on this area in our lives, the internal voices that go from you're broken, you're marred, you're unforgivable, you're an orphan, you can fill in the blank. Suddenly we have our Heavenly Father, who we cry out, Abba, Father, who, because of what Jesus did, moves us from the cave hiding from God and now suddenly back into perfect relationship where we receive our identity, is that we then hear the words, my son, my daughter, you are brand new, you are chosen, you are pure, you are enough. The Lord said this to Joshua, hence this is the next generational chance of getting out of slavery. Yes, they were out of Egypt, but the Israelites were never supposed to stay in the wilderness. It was always a partnership of coming back into trust with God, and they were to go and inherit the promised land. And he said, and God said to Joshua in 5:9, he said, then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt, so that this place called Gilgal to this day. He rolled away our shame. Again, what is the Lord connecting us to? The resurrection of Jesus. That the shame is off us. As I've gone on my own journey on this, Life Church, like, some of it, like a lot of this, probably about, if I was to point out one of the biggest areas of a personal walk with this, would be this guilt and shame that I've had for many years of just believing that I'm not good enough. And that, and it would manifest in all kinds of ways. And there's nothing like the Lord putting you in situations where you are so in over your head for those lies to be addressed quite quickly. I think that if we were to look at, if you were to think what our Heavenly Father is wanting to do for all of us this morning, is actually for us just to step in a greater level of trust and intimacy with Him, so that the plans that He has for you and I are not actually stopped at the very first moment He speaks because we disqualify ourselves because of guilt and shame. And I believe that actually the Lord would remove, would hold the words and maybe the doors that He has for us, and is going to go after our guilt and shame, because once those are out of the way, I believe then the promised land is ready for to be taken. Yes. Yes. But what we might say to ourselves is, God, I'll believe you when I'm there. God, I'll believe you when the miracle comes. God, I'll believe you when this happens or that happens, or I stop being, I'm not anxious anymore, and all the things. And actually, the Lord goes before us, but He also walks with us. And I just want to ask you guys, just for you just to ask the question right now, Holy Spirit, is there anything that I need to let go of this morning? I also just want to say this, that I think the enemy has done quite a clever trick in saying that actually shame is, I think individually we'd probably be able to say it, but I would actually also like to argue that culture and nations have weaponized, the enemy's used nations and culture to weaponize shame, to say, well, we use shame because this is our culture. And I want to say that the kingdom trumps any family culture, any national culture, that plans of the enemy to lock people in shame and really manipulate people to do things that they know, that you know you don't want to do. And I mean, what I'm saying right now, you might be thinking about recent Thanksgiving meals. But we're called to be free. And freedom looks like something. And it
realizing that it actually just comes from choosing to accept the grace that's here this morning for all of us to actually just step into a new way of thinking, a new way of believing. Yes. And actually, for some of us, it's actually going back to the cross again. Yes, you may have heard this message a million times, but actually truly receiving the finished work of the cross again this morning so that none of us walk out this room the same. Can I also say that your friends, maybe your partner, your kids, your family, people you work with, I would say it's more than likely that they're carrying shame and guilt, but they don't even know it. And if you were to carry a weight on your back for not just a few hours, but days, weeks, months, that weight would suddenly just become connected to the weight of your body, and you would just say that this is how much I weigh, wouldn't you?
Yes.
So from a very helpful example would be, since I've been preaching, I've been wearing a weighted vest. Everyone was like, we thought black was slimming. And this has been heavy. I do it for an effect to see that there are people that either you're sat next to today or you're going to see this week that are actually carrying guilt and shame, but you just think that they're just big boned. You know that there was a great exchange at the cross for you and I.
Yes.
That our guilt and shame was actually taken away from us.
Yes.
But it would be the father of lies that would say, it was taken off for them, but not you.
Yes.
And we're going to silence that voice this morning.
Amen.
Yes. Let me tell you why I am a massive believer in life groups, home groups, about what you guys are about to step into. I believe life groups are actually the heart and soul of the church.
Yes.
What we're doing right now is actually like a halftime team talk. We're actually here to celebrate what he's done, testimonies, hear what he's done in the week, encourage one another, bless one another. But in a few hours, we're all going to be either in our homes or in the restaurants, whatever you call it. And then for the rest of the week, the Lord has put you in a specific place to be, and it's not just a coast, and it's not just a random set of events that where you are. You carry the Spirit of the living God inside you, and any time the Spirit is on someone, it's designed to leak out.
Yes.
And it's actually designed to fall on someone. So you guys have gone through the book of Acts. You would know that when Solomon built the temple and dedicated to the Lord, you know that fire fell from the sky and it fell into the building. I mean, that's an amazing, that's a great firework display. And everyone who watched that knew that the presence of the Lord is in that building. And then years and years go by, and then you notice that when Jesus went to the cross and told his disciples to do what? Do not leave Jerusalem. When he resurrected, he said to Jerusalem, stay in Jerusalem because I must send what? The Holy Spirit. And do you notice that when the Holy Spirit fell, it didn't fall on a building. Who did it fall on? It fell on people. So that we see that before the cross, the Spirit of the Lord was contained in a building, but now the Spirit of God is contained in you. And that the Holy Spirit since Pentecost has been jumping on person to 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 person. And my question is, who are you this week going to give the Holy Spirit to? Because that is one of our calls. And I don't believe that we fully get it if actually we're walking around as followers of Jesus, but weighed down by guilt and shame. There is somewhere in the Bible it says that the
that shouts of joy come from the houses of the righteous. Which to me says that, like, when we hang out, when we're at home, the joy and the laughter and the life that comes out of our houses actually screams the gospel. It screams Jesus.
Amen.
1 John 1 says this, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us for our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let me say this. As people of God, which I believe I'm speaking to a room full of,
yes,
you cannot bypass this. Like, you can't pick and choose. Like, this is a command for us to walk in the light because he is in the light. Let me read you the verse before, 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. You see, the grace of God falls on anyone that confesses to one another that they need help.
Yes.
Can I say again, join a life group. Humble yourself before the Lord and allow the Lord to speak through the men and women that he's going to put around that table. There will be things that the Lord is going to say. There are things that only through your friends can the Lord speak to you. Following Jesus is a team sport.
Yes.
This idea of that it's just me and Jesus and I just get to do it alone is actually a self-centered gospel. It's actually not biblical. You're actually called to be a part of a family, and families speak the truth to one another.
Yes.
Galatians 4 says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship, because you are his sons. God sent the Spirit of God of his Son into our hearts, and the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir.
Amen.
So can you see that going from slavery all the way into freedom, and not just saying I'm free, but behaving like a son and daughter? This is a process that I'm on, church. This is a process that you're on. And can I say that for actually us as a community, it has to look like something. Rather than an amen and I agree, Jonathan, it actually looks like something. Because what Jesus did, donezo. There's nothing left. And if you saw in the garden God shouting to Adam and Eve saying, Adam, Eve, where are you? Where are you? Now, because of what Jesus has done, we are made new. He sent Jesus for us. And now we have the privilege to seek God ourselves and say, Abba, Father, make me your son. Make me your daughter. It's on us to believe a message like this, and it through the confession of our mouth, through repentance, 180 turn, to say, I am letting go of the guilt and shame that I have been under. Because this is what he died for. And if there's a voice of, but I can't forgive myself, and I understand what that is, but what you're saying is, I don't believe what God has done for me. That it actually can erase and restart and make my life so brand new that my mourning really does turn into dancing. That really he can turn ashes into beauty.
Yes.
And this morning, I believe it's just a point of saying, God, I trust you and I give it back. Can we stand? Do you not see it of any surprise that God would say to Peter, Peter, by your own confession of you saying who I am, I'm going to build my church on you. And then we see the next bit of Peter blowing it so publicly and so bad. Like, can I just say that I don't think there's anyone here that any mistake that's being addressed right now is going to be written in a book and read about in 2,000 years' time. Okay? And yet the love and the grace of God came to Peter when he was at his lowest, running away from God, sitting under the weight of guilt and shame, and Jesus cooked him breakfast. Jesus took him to Waffle House. And by restoring Peter, he just asked him three questions. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him? And out of that, Jesus then says, Peter, I want to build my church on you. In your weakness and in your guilt and shame is going to be the very thing that I'm going to build on. You're going to be the rock that I build. You're going to be the very mission that I came to do. You're going to preach the first sermon by the power of the Holy Spirit. And out of your shame and guilt is suddenly going to turn into boldness and courage. And the message that you're going to preach is going to lead over 3,000 people to the Lord. You're not going to be remembered as a three-strike failure or a denier of me. You're going to be remembered as a legend. And that this morning, we actually can draw upon that same grace this morning.
Yes.
Psalm 34 verse 5 says this, those who look to him are radiant and their faces are never covered with shame. Just, why don't we just, in your own way, just lock your eyes onto Jesus right now. And I said at the beginning, like, Holy Spirit, would you just take these words and would you slice and dice everything that you want from this message? And Lord, we are just exposing the lies of the enemy this morning. That shame and guilt come off in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I want to just say this, that agreeing with God actually breaks pride. And if there's a wrestle going on, can I just say, can you just drop your arms, drop the fight, drop the reasoning or the self-justification and agree with him that you are a son and a daughter?
Yes.
Father, I just pray right now just that you, through the power of your cross, that we've heard that it's not by power or might, but by the Spirit of God. Lord, I just pray for shame and guilt to be lifted off this house.
Amen.
Over anyone. There's something about the sound of shame and guilt coming off. Father, we receive your words this morning and we believe your truth. That it is at the cross we are free. And I pray, Holy Spirit, right now for weights to be lifted off in this room, in the name of Jesus. Some of you actually just need to say, Lord, take it. Some of you just need to actually stop negotiating and just say, take it now. You just put your arm over the person you're standing next to. Just say, I'm really happy you're here. And you say to the person, would you help me and remind me to walk in this freedom? And if you ever see me carrying any weights, would you take them off me? Lord, I thank you that we are called to walk in the light. And I, Lord, I thank you that there is freedom in this room, that, Lord, the broken and the people that don't know you yet are going to come into this room, and it will be by the smiles on the faces of this house.
Yes.
Say,
yes.
The Spirit of the living God is here.
Yes.
And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
Amen.
I know I'm over time. I'm just going to just say three more things, and I'm going to hand it back.
They hear this every week. You're used to it.
They do. This is actually just a wonderful moment of actually just the power of laying on of hands of one another. I know we have a prayer ministry team this here, and I just wouldn't want anyone to leave here that a message like this can stir and it can bring things to the surface. But they're here to the surface because the Lord wants to speak to it.
Yes.
So can I just, if that is you, can I just ask you just to come to the front now? And I know there are a team here that are going to minister to you. Just come to the front. The other is this, that I think a message like this, the good news, when you really understand it, it actually really is good news. It's actually too good to be true. And I believe that there are people here today that a message like this is actually more about, less about something being removed by what he's done, but it's actually you acknowledging Jesus as your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Maybe for the first time, or maybe you're coming back. And I want to just create an opportunity, if that's you and the Lord has got you here, that there is so much love and acceptance in this room. Come, because the Lord's brought you here for that very reason.
Yes.
The other is what I said earlier in John 1, is that actually this is a message like this, church, is not, that was a great message because I liked that he took a vest off and he threw it on the ground. It's actually a great message because we walk out this door and we actually walk it out by actually saying to our friends and people that God's put in our lives, we're going to continually to walk in the light because he is in the light. And I want to say, what a greater time of your life groups as you gather is start with confession. Start actually saying, we're so serious about this, that Lord, that this place would be such a place of freedom, but it starts with me. So Father, I bless this house. I bless for the year of freedom over this house. And I pray, Lord, that shame and guilt has no power anymore. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to dismiss in just a second. And I just want to give you the opportunity. Don't just walk out the door. Freedom is awaiting you. And it starts for me, it always starts with humility. It's embarrassing. But to walk out that door free, that's what we live for. That's what we were destined for. That's our DNA is freedom. So, Father, thank you for this day. Father, I pray that you would bring boldness and courage to us, to me, to respond, just to come forward to say, I want to be free. I want to be free. I want to be free. Lord, that we could be all that you've called us to be. So bless us, Father, in our going. We had a great week, blessed week. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. You're so good, so faithful, Father. Thank you for Jonathan. Thank you for the word that he brought. Thank you that he's walking out lighter himself than when he came in. Bless us this day, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. So if you want to come up, please come up. Lots of opportunity. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.